From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of June 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. We'll be joined by Mike Tenura from T-Storm Weather in Chicago to take a look at the forecast for the Midwest and what it might bring for the end of the month of June. And then as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the agricultural cash grain markets with Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net. He's in Windsor, Illinois, and it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, corn futures finished the July or lead option up 12 cents at $4.42 today. September at 447 and three quarters, 9.5 cents higher. December at 455 and three quarters, up 7.25. And the March up 4.75 at 461. You'll want to make note as we discuss this with Dan Zwicker in just a bit that those lead option months were really piling things on while they were dragging the rest of them along. July soybeans up a dime at $8.88. The August at $8.94.5, up 9.75. And November's up 9.75. And the soybeans at $9.15.25. January up 9 cents at $9.26.75. The bean oil 46 cents higher at $28.02. The bean meal at $3.21.70, up 2.20. Wheat futures soft bread July 5.35 and a half, 9.25 higher, and July hard red at 4.68 and a quarter, up 5.5 cents. Live cattle futures finished down 60 cents at 109 and a nickel. Feeders down $1.57 and a half at 136.22 and a half, and lean hogs 20 cents higher at $79.22 and a half. Dan Zwicker is here this afternoon from Zwicker and Associates out of Waco, Texas. I think though he's traveled all the way to Illinois by this time. I'm wondering, Dan, what you saw on your way up. Did you drive?
Yes, I did, but most of my driving by the time I hit Illinois was kind of in the, dawn phase. I guess it's dusk to dawn, or is it dawn to dusk? I don't know. It was, but we did pull into the farm about 10 o'clock Saturday night. We left Waco, Texas about 7:30, and we drove straight through. It was easy drive, so... But when I woke up Sunday morning and started driving around the farm, I was kind of sick. I'm not sure I saw every crop on this farm since I've been alive during the spring months. But boy, we got a long ways to go. I'm not too sure we'll be knee-high by 4th of July, but maybe that there's a growth spurt here in the next 10 days or so. But things were looking real good on our farm, I think, up till a couple weeks ago. Now, this is flat. It's been tiled, but the soils were saturated, and then we got like a 2.5-inch rain on top of it, and then it just created a whole bunch of mud puddles throughout the whole farm. And it took a while to get those drained off as the tiles were running at full steam. So we've got some replanted, you know, in the spots and that kind of stuff. But as a rule, those don't usually turn out too good. But, you know, you never know.
Yeah, so your home county is Mercer County?
Mercer County. I'm on the northern part of Mercer County. The northern part of Mercer County is flat. The center of Mercer County is rolling because we got a river going through it. And then the southern part of Mercer County is flat as it goes on into Warren County.
Yeah, so you're there in the northwestern, well, we'll call it the northwestern. I'm not sure the guys in the northwest part of the state would call it that, but you're in the northwestern corner of the state up there, certainly in that just below I-80, if I remember correctly.
So, yes.
In one of those really, really wet areas. Now, this morning, you were tweeting out some information about the bull spread in the corn market. And this could be really the start of the trade getting an idea that this crop is in trouble. It's been rallying, of course, up to this point, but we haven't been what I think you would call into a bull market completely. Has that changed?
Yeah, I guess that would be my definition, and we've talked about it for the last 3-4 weeks already, is that the market was going up, but the market, all contracts were kind of going up at the same pace. And I had mentioned that if you're going to get into a true bull market, and that is when the trade realizes that future supplies are going to be significantly smaller than what demand is, that they will come forward and buy old crop supplies because they will want to accumulate them rather than wait until next fall when supplies are smaller. So you really began to see that take hold in the overnight trade last night, that the July was stronger than the September, and the September were stronger than the December, and December were stronger than March 2020. So we are now this is a major character change of the market. So I view this as the phase that the end user now has really begun to panic in a way, or they're wanting to accumulate as much old crop inventory as they can. And you have already seen it in the basis levels. Basis levels have been improving. They were initially trying to do it with basis improvement, but that only goes so far. Then you've got to get your front end months to go. And see, some of the end users now may stand for delivery. They will buy that July contract, and they will make the short deliver that inventory. But the delivery system doesn't necessarily work the way it used to. I don't know what the CEM group might do. They might go in there and says, you know, you guys got to kind of get this thing resolved because we don't want no major distortion in the market during the month of July. So I don't know how it's going to work, but this is in theory, that's the practice, what you would do. If you're a major exporter, an end user, you would want to buy July futures and stand for delivery and force the short to bring those cash deliveries to your doorstep or to that delivery point, which is along the Mississippi River or the Illinois River. So it'll be interesting how it plays out. Now, everybody's got a different way of using a lead corn futures chart. I switch over the month before the month expires. So on June 1st, my lead futures contract is a September contract. Now, some people will stay with the July until like maybe June 31st and then switch to September. Some people will stay with the July contract until it expires and then goes into September. So there's several different ways of looking at a lead futures chart, but the way I watch a lead futures chart is I switch over a whole month before expiration, because you start getting that contract kind of gets into distortions at times. So to kind of smooth it out, look at a long term. Now, with that in mind, with the futures, the way September futures is closed, my chart shows us breaking out of this 7-year sideways market that goes back to, 2014, or I guess so you go, I'd say 2014, and then this is 2019, so I guess 5-year sideways trading pattern, which I kind of called between 440 and 320. So we are breaking out of that pattern. So that tells me, and then we busted into new highs after we had a period of consolidation there last week. So I think this is the start of a new leg up in prices. If that is the case, and there's ifs in all kinds of predicting of the future, it does imply that we're headed to 5-something, or, 5.10, 5.12, 5.18, something in there. If you would look at a 38% retracement off of the 12 high and the 16 low, that would be like 5.17. And I would be looking at the September contract to do 5.17 based upon the way I do my lead futures contract. Now, you talk to another guy, they'll look at something a little different. But that's what it's implying to me. And then if you take this congestion area and kind of take the midpoint of it and go off of the lows that we made here a few weeks ago when this rally first began to take off, I think, and then subtract that from the bottom and then add that amount to the top, I think it takes you all, it takes a lot of the contracts into that 510, 512, 513. Let's say 5 to 520 range is what a lot of technicians are looking at now. Whether or not we have the muscle to do that, that's a day-by-day type situation. And I understand we're going to be wet yet for another week. So corn plantings, I think, are pretty well done with. Now, there might be somebody still trying to plant some corn, but we're kind of getting kind of late here when you start looking at the dates. And now I think that, and then with beans kind of taking off yesterday, and then we saw another good day today, it's beginning now. The beans are going to kind of catch in here. And I think they're going to start worrying about maybe not adding acres, but maybe just holding their own or maybe even losing acres before this thing is over with. So there's a lot of water to go under the bridge, and there is a lot of water going under the bridge these days. And yeah, everything, today's action is very supportive for the market to take another leg up. Now, before I let you go, I want to tell you that June is a big month for seasonal highs. So everybody has to keep that in mind, that we have a lot of seasonal highs during the month of June. And I just want to caution everybody on that.
Well, I wasn't going to let you go just yet. I have one more question for you, because there are an awful lot of folks out there who probably have July options that will expire. And they want to know if they're going to expire with a profit or whether they're going to have to do something in terms of rolling them forward or just letting them expire worthless. What are your thoughts on those?
Well, not necessarily knowing what strike price they bought and what they paid for them. But I guess I'm in the opinion that if you want to take advantage, if this market is going to take off to the 5-something or 6-something or 7-something, I even heard $10 the other day, and I go, well, I don't know if I caught, I don't know if I want to get in a crawl into that camp yet.
That was probably soybeans.
Yeah, that's probably what we're going to see, $10 soybeans and $10 corn. How about that? No, I think, yeah, that's the problem with options. I think the way this market's going to unfold, put it this way. I think we're going to have an emotional rally based upon a whole bunch of uncertainties. And that's going to take us to a level that the end user will stop buying or the market will get tremendously overbought. And then we'll go into a setback. And then we're going to wait on a lot of data coming out of USDA, whether it's going to be the August crop report or whether or not it may be the September or it might be the October report. And then, of course, by the October report on any acreage revisions, by then we'll have some combines rolling, and then we'll be able to gauge whether or not the yields are coming in above or below expectations. And if they're below expectations, then if USDA makes some major downward adjustments in acres, well, then we get to go again. But if it's not the case and the yields end up better than expected and USDA doesn't do any more juggling of acres, well, then we'll look back at the emotional rally as the high point of the year. So farmers need to stay tuned in. But I think we'll have two phases. The first phase here, I don't know if it's going to be during the month of June or if it's going to go into, you know, June, July, whatever, or August, but I think we're going to have an emotional phase. We're going to probably overdo it, and then we're going to have a setback, and then we're going to find out what the real numbers are, and then we'll see if we need to do it again.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it. We'll talk with you again next week. Have fun on the farm.
Okay, Todd.
That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He is with Zwicker Consulting. By now, a few of you have probably realized starting in June that the closing mark report is shorter than it used to be. In fact, it's about 6 minutes shorter than it used to be, and that was my decision. I want to explain just exactly how that came about. Historically, this has been a half-hour program. It started in 1985. I was actually a student here when the program began, and there are some reasons for the wonky way that it fits into the programming day, ending at 2:36, or when it used to end at 2:36. And over time, those reasons went away. In that process, we picked up some radio stations on the commercial side, and we revamped the way things were being used in the 30-minute program, and there were really 4 minutes that were set aside for commercials at that point on those stations. And I essentially got rid of those 4 minutes. Those included the TDIH, or This Day in Ag History, at the bottom of the hour. There were 365 of those, and they're almost 8 years old, and they're actually just timing out at this point, and it's a lot of work to come up with 365 of them, and I'm pretty busy on my own. So that went away, and some of the extra numbers that you heard up front, including the local weather forecast and all those numbers that came from the Dow and the ethanol numbers. We'll use them if need be on any given day, but those all went away. There's really about a minute less worth of time for content, actual content that we put together for the daily program every day. And now it's 24 minutes. If you happen to use our online services, you will have noted that, we run anywhere between 23 and 24 minutes for the podcast and have for several years now. It just brought everything back into line. I thought you'd be interested to know. This is the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. We're now joined by Mike Tenura. He's a T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, thanks for being with us today.
Always great being here, Todd. Hope you're having a great day.
I am. Let's start with the near-term weather forecast. Boy, it's cool, but sunshine at least today, although I think it's going to be cool and wet. What's your forecast look like?
Well, it is going to stay pretty cool. We do have a little bit of a warm-up this weekend, but the main point for the next 7 to 10 days is that temperatures will average a little bit below normal. At this time of the year, we would like to see it pretty warm. That helps the crop to emerge, and it also helps both corn and soybeans to develop at a quick pace. So when it's cool like this, it just slows everything down. And when it's planted this late, that's not exactly what you would like to see. We do have more rain on the way as well. It's not going to rain every single day, but we do have some substantial totals coming up, especially for the southern half of the Corn Belt, generally along and south of Interstate 80. We'll see waves of thunderstorms at times over the next 7 to 10 days. And so pretty much a week from now, and especially 10 days from now, it'll be pretty wet once again. So basically kind of more of what we saw a couple of weeks ago.
What's the extended forecast look like?
Well, things do change a bit once we get 10 to 14 days into the future. We can see that the cool pattern is going to break. The cool weather that we've been experiencing pretty much eases and lifts on to the north. That will allow upper-level high pressure in the southern U.S. to expand. Now, this situation can occasionally lead to significant heat, so we do have to watch it. But there's a few reasons to be cautious about any thoughts of a big heat wave. Number one is that the leading reason to believe there might be heat is because of something that we call the Global Forecast System Model. This model has tended to be way too hot in the extended period many times over the last 3, 4, and 5 years. So just because of that alone, you have to be cautious. Additionally, it won't be too difficult to create thunderstorms. If it does turn much warmer, that will also lead to higher evaporation rates because the soils are so moist. So that will make it a little bit easier than in another summer to create thunderstorms. Now, that being said, we do think it's going to get warmer. This model is not totally out to lunch on a warm-up. We can see this a number of different ways that we like to look at it. So a warm-up is coming up toward the end of the month. It probably will generate thunderstorms in different areas at different times, but this is something that we need to watch. This is one of the things that we've warned about for a while. It is possible for the summer to turn a lot warmer after a spring like the one we've gone through. Is this the start of it? It's just too early to say, but you do have to watch it. You can't completely ignore it, but at the same time, you can't just start saying a heat wave is coming up, because there's a number of reasons to be cautious about that.
Do you have areas in particular across the Corn Belt that this might take aim at, or is it too far out and too general at this point to even give that much information?
Well, it looks like it would start in the plains. We do have some heat that's taken place this week and will happen at times over the next 10 days in the desert southwest. So when the heat puffs outward, it initially would affect Colorado, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. They're somewhat accustomed to heat at this time of the year, so not totally unusual, but even for them, a tiny bit warmer than normal. So that would be kind of the first area to watch. At times, that warmth would then puff onto the east and get into the Corn Belt. That's at least the way it looks right now. But pretty much our forecast that we're telling all of our subscribers is that it's going to turn warmer. We don't think there's going to be a major heat wave at this point in time, and we think that the warmer weather will be accompanied by some storms. But again, this is all 10 to 14 days out, and really the big uncertainties are still about 3 weeks out. You just can't forecast weather that far into the future with the technology that we have available today. So just keep an eye on it is pretty much what we're telling people.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with us.
You're welcome, Todd, and we'll chat soon.
Indeed we will. That is Mike Tenura. He is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. We're now joined to take a look at the cash grain market by Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net from Windsor, Illinois. Hey, good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks for being with me this afternoon. I know you probably had some contact with folks around the state of Illinois, other places, to get an idea about what Prevent Plant looks like in Illinois. What do we know?
You know, basically from north of Champaign up to I-80 and north, we're hearing significant amounts of claims. I don't have any total acreages, of course, but I've talked to two different insurance salesmen who've told me they were over 150 preventive plant claims for their particular offices. So obviously there's a significant amount of claims. Now, again, we don't know for sure on acreage, but there's no question we're going to have quite a bit of Prevent Plant in Illinois, and a lot of people didn't think that would happen.
And we may end up with Prevent Plant for soybeans in some of these places if we keep getting rains like we're supposed to, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely Illinois, Indiana, Ohio is supposed to be where most of the rain is going to be centered around in the next week to 10 days. Hopefully we don't get as much as they're talking, but if we do, it's certainly going to put a bad effect as far as getting late soybeans planted.
What'd you think of today's rally in the corn market?
That was nice to see. I'm not surprised that the front months are leading. Certainly some processors bidding up for bushels. I'm hearing whispers of some pretty healthy overs, so certainly be talking to your buyer about what they're willing to do to get your corn bought.
Hey, thanks so much, Matt. Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net. He joins us from his farm there in Windsor, Illinois, to talk about the cash grain market. That happens each and every Thursday afternoon. You can hear him again, Dan Zwicker as well. All of our programming, or most of it in its entirety, on our website anytime you'd like. The address there is willag.org, willag.org. You can find us in the Google Play Store, as well as on Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, by using the NPR One app. And when I get it back working again, and I'm still working on it, we'll be back up on the iTunes site with the closing market report. Commodity Week and the opening market report remain there. There's just something a little different about the way iTunes is seeing our RSS feed at the moment, and I haven't quite gotten that fixed just yet. Hey, thanks for being with us for this Thursday afternoon. Don't forget, Commodity Week will be up tonight on the website at 6 o'clock this evening. I'm Todd Gleason.